The sky is gray. Candies in the tears roll down the street.
You know, if you're doing a show for caregivers, sometimes it's okay to do the blues.
You earned it.
We got it right.
Yeah.
We got it right. Who is that?
That's Stevie Ray Vaughan, man.
Stevie Ray Vaughan. Way to go.
That's SRV. You know.
Sorry about that. I didn't catch that, but I'm a little bit more attuned to these things.
That's the good
stuff. The Count of Mighty Disco is doing us right today. Hey, this is Peter Rosenberger. Welcome back to the show for caregivers. If you are feeling it as a caregiver, we've discussed it, and we're going to discuss it more. We're not disgusting.
Well.
Okay, but we're glad that you're with us. If you want to be on the show, 615-737-9522 or 800-688-9522 if you're listening on iHeart. Speaking of let's go to the phones right now. I've got a dear lady, and it's not often, John. Let me set this up, because I talked to this young lady here this week. It's not often that I meet people in the over 25-year club as a caregiver.
Right. This was the thing. We've been doing this for 30 some odd years.
Yeah,
you know?
There's not very many people in this arena that I get to encounter. They're out there. Well, Tammy is one of them, and she's calling in from Benton, Arkansas, and she's going to tell a little bit of her story. And so, Tammy,
yes,
how are you?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
I am great. How are things today in Arkansas?
They're wonderful. It's nice and sunny. And I just want to say I've always wanted to go to Bonnaroo myself, but I agree with your point about not dressing like that for the doctor's office.
No, and you've been to quite a few doctor's offices in your day. Again, it's not often that I get to speak to somebody who's logged in the kind of years that I've logged in. And I wanted you to come on the show and tell a little bit of your story. And then I've got some specific things that I want you to be able to share with other folks. So very quickly, just tell us a little bit of your journey as a caregiver and so forth.
Well, like you, I was very young when I started this journey with my husband. He was 24, I was 25, and one day in the summer, he was diagnosed with chronic myelogenous leukemia. And so that was day one of a long journey, thankfully, because he's still here, and we are learning every day what it means to be a caregiver. It's been about 24 years of ups and downs and, really dealing with sometimes the repercussions of the medicines you take to get better, you know, cause other things. And so years of medical situations, from broken bones to kidney problems to liver problems to joint replacements. It seems never-ending sometimes, but one of the things I've learned is just try to be thankful that you have that person in your life run with it.
One of the things I wanted to ask you today, so you were 25 years old. You took this on. Now here you are a quarter of a century later.
Yeah.
And you look over this landscape of doctor visits, of suffering, of heartache, where you've had to kind of keep this thing on the rails.
Yeah.
What do you say to that 25-year-old Tammy that's out there?
Oh, wow. We discussed this a little bit, and you brought that up, and I started thinking about it. And, I almost don't recognize that 25-year-old Tammy anymore because these things change you. But what I would tell her or anybody that's new to caregiving, that you know you're going to be in it for the long haul. Part of it is that 101, and it's one of the theories you talked about in your book, the Delta Doctrine. I use a thing called CARE, C-A-R-E, and the C for me is care for yourself first. You talked about it today even, and it's almost counterintuitive when you're first hit the road with this because it's all about the person you're taking care of and you're in shock. But it is true, if you don't take care of yourself, you won't be able to handle all the things that you have to do. And I'm not just talking about food and, eating right and exercising, even though that's all important. But I'm also talking about don't give up your hobbies. Don't give up the things or put them on a shelf, the things that help you relax and make you happy. It's still okay to enjoy life, and you don't have to feel guilty about it. And it's part of being healthy, to go out and relax and have some fun every once in a while.
Unless one of your hobbies is base jumping. You might want to give some thought to maybe curtailing that a little bit.
Well, yeah, if you're an adrenaline junkie, you may have to curb a
base
little bit
jump.
Of that.
Well, that lets you out, John.
I'm done. I gotta quit.
Now, Tammy, I love that though. I really do like that. Just don't give up your hobbies, because I think that so many times we put our life on hold when we're taking care of somebody, and we're going to get them through this situation, then we'll go back to our life. But sometimes that life never comes back. And so this is our new normal now. And it's so important to maintain that identity. And I talk a lot about that in the book and on this show. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that you said, don't give up your hobbies. That's a great, great, great reminder to us as caregivers today. Yeah. You know, some people listening to this right now who like to do certain things, that whether it's go for a hike or play golf, or, you know, I'm a pianist. I love to play. I want to make sure I have that time as a pianist to be able to do that kind of stuff. And that's just great wisdom. What do you think has changed the most about you from doing this for 25 years now?
Oh, goodness. Well, I became a lot more vocal. I was very shy. You know, wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. I had a lot of aspirations, but most of them were just to live in my own little nice world with, you know, rainbows and unicorns, as you put it.
What a happy place that must be.
Yeah. Well, when you're 25, you know, you think all these things are what it's all about, but I changed, and I'm still changing. You have to keep adapting in order to be happy in the role that you're placed in. And I learned to become vocal and speak out, and I listened to what you were saying about the doctor visits and the three P's, and that's really good. And,
I had many opportunities. Did you get when you got into doctor? I remember one time a doctor was giving me a little bit of attitude, and I said to him, "Doc, you know, with all due respect, I was taking care of her when you were in junior high school. Let's keep this thing in perspective." Have you ever gotten in that situation? I mean, you sound like a very, very nice, polite person. So I know what kind of a jerk I am, but you sound like a very lovely person. Have you ever gotten a situation where you've had to kind of hold the hand up to the doc and say, "Hey, talk to the hand here"?
I did. Mine was a bit opposite of yours, actually. I was in my 20s, and the doctor was probably in his, you know, 50s, maybe late 40s. And Mark was very sick, and we went to the doctor, and they really, they recommended Robitussin and go home. And I said, no, you know, most people, this was post bone marrow transplant. I said, most people die from pneumonia during recovery from a bone marrow transplant. So I would like for you to look at his lungs at least, you know, and make sure. Well, he refused. And so I called MD Anderson, which is where we had the transplant, and they immediately wanted him on a plane and get down there. And long story short, it turned out to be a fungal pneumonia, which is, you know, can be fatal. And thank God they caught it in time. But I called that doctor back. And this sweet, you know, nice young girl asked him if he was going to give me part of his paycheck
I think he should have been concerned about a lot more than part of his paycheck at that point. Well, you know, and they do make mistakes, in all fairness. However, belligerence is not a mistake. You know, that's an attitude.
You may run into, as you know, doctors that, I mean, they do have a lot on their plate, and I don't mean to belittle, because we've had the greatest doctors ever. But they're busy, and in this particular case, he was used to caring for more elderly people, not, you know, younger people who ask a lot of questions, and they're busy, but there are times when you will have to assert yourself, or be an advocate for your for the person you're caring for.
Well, because if you don't, who's going to?
That's right, and you have to make sure, you know, you can't, you've got to keep asking questions until you get answers, because sometimes things drop through the cracks. So don't, my advice would be just don't feel guilty about that or have any kind of, you know, feeling like you're not smart enough to ask these questions. Go out. If you don't think you have all the facts, go get them. It's pretty easy today. You know, mayoclinic.com, any of those things. You know, you can go out and research and have find good questions to ask.
Well, that is great advice. Last thing, we've got to take a, go to a break here up against the clock.
Sure.
But I wanted to, again, thank you for coming on the show and just sharing your wisdom, and I'm going to have you back on. But yes. What about your faith? How has this impacted your faith through this process?
Well, my faith carried me through the process and still carries me today. I did learn something, I think, quickly about trusting God, even when circumstances aren't what I want them to be, or if my prayer's not answered in the way that I imagined it. God knows the desire of my heart, and it may not look like what I thought it would, but as in hindsight you see where the Lord has guided you and given you the desires of your heart. And you just have to trust that even though it doesn't look like what you imagined it to be, that one of these days it's all going to make sense. And the Lord loves us more than we can imagine, and he's going to guide us through this and give us what we need to do it well.
Well, that's strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. And
yes.
That's a great way to end this conversation on that. Tammy, I want you to know how much I appreciate you calling in and just the insights you have. You've done something extraordinary, and you're continuing to do it now for a quarter of a century. That's not an easy thing, and I know a little bit more about your story than you're letting on, and I know that it has not come easy to you, and I can just say on behalf of all that are listening here today, we're grateful for your vulnerability and to come and just share your thoughts and hearts. I mean, this is how we strengthen each other, is to listen to folks who've done this. And what have they learned through it? What have they done through it? And if nothing else, folks, just remember what she said. You know, keep your hobbies. Don't lose who you are. Learn to be vocal with it. Learn to educate yourself and assert yourself with it. It's okay. You have the right to do that. And trust that God is moving in this thing in ways that you can't imagine. Listen, we got to take a quick break here. And we'll be back in a little bit. But Tammy, thank you again. Before we go, thank you so much for this. And I'm very grateful.
You.
And we're going to have you back on.
Oh, thank you. It was fun. I appreciate it.
All righty. Well, listen, you guys have a great day in Arkansas. Thanks for the call. This is Peter Rosenberger. We're going to be right back on the show for caregivers.
Hi, this is Jeff Foxworthy. 65 million Americans serve as a caregiver for a sick or disabled loved one. If you're one of them, then listen to my friend Peter Rosenberger's show here on 1510 WLAC. He's got redneck tendencies, but he's really good at what he does.
For more information, visit standingwithhope.com.